See, I met my wife on a blind date, and boy, that was a turning point. Our first one, we had to drive about 10 miles to get to from the hospital to our home. And back then, it was a long time ago, and we didn't have the baby seats and all this kind of stuff. So he's sitting on his mother's lap, and I'm driving, and we're thinking about this baby and all this, and we look down, he's like this, got his little hands like this. And she said, "Look, he's praying." And we thought that was kind of cute. And then we got home and said, "Now what do we do?" And later in the day, I said, "I think he was praying, and I think he was saying, 'God, these people don't know what they're doing. Please help them.'" If you've had children, you've probably seen some turning points. Some that you were glad that they were turning, and some you thought, whoa, that's the wrong turn there. And maybe you've had a wrong turn every now and then. But there are points in your life, in my life, where turning points have been significant. We're going to look at each of these characters, and I want you to see, number three, what was the prelude that caused God to make that turning point? There was events that were taking place. For example, when we talk about Noah next week, there were some things going on that caused God to stop and say, "I need to get a turning point going here. This isn't working like I'd planned." We're going to look at the characters involved. And again, I was talking to one of my friends, one of my new friends, about the fact that as we study the Bible, God uses people to accomplish what he needs to have done many times. And you've probably felt that way, and I've often thought, well, God, all he's got to work with here is people. And he's decided he's gonna have people do his turning points, take care of what he's doing. And that's a big responsibility. But we'll talk about the characters, talk about the events. We'll talk a little bit about each event. What was God's purpose? Why did he do that? For example, next week when we talk about Noah, why did he have a flood? And I think as you think back and look at those scriptures, it becomes evident that he chose to have a flood, and there was reasons. He didn't just say, "Well, let's do a flood today." No, it was more than that. And I think we can get a lot from looking at what his purpose and what that outcome was. And then, of course, last but not least, what are the lessons for us today as we look at Noah's story, as we look at the others? What does that mean to us today? Is it just a nice story in the olden days, or is there more there that we need to be grabbing a hold of and putting into our life? So six things. You can jot your own notes, or you can take notes in your brain, whichever way you do it. But this is what we're going to do each week, these six things, as we try to go in and look at what the scripture is saying to us about turning points that God decided to have. So that's where we're headed. Those are the dates, and those are the people we're going to look at. So hang on to that, and that'll become the basis of your study and our study together. And I might say, after the 6 weeks, Stacy will be back, and we'll be picking up the class from there. And I'm not sure, I was hoping he'd be here today to kind of give us a preview, but he is preparing a study that he'll bring after we complete the 6 weeks. So you'll get Stacy back. And as I say, he has better looking suits, and he's a lot better looking. So you'll get him back, don't worry, he's coming back. And we'll enjoy having him share some more with us. Let's go ahead and come to this first slide. And what is a turning point? Let's see here. I want to get some conversation going. Could you be my mic man today? You're sitting in the front. Never sit in the front, because if you do, you might get somebody making you do work. And this is live. When you use this, as they always tell me, put it right up here, very close your mouth, like that, and that picks it up. You go like this, you don't get the pickup. So there we are. If you'll be my assistant, I'd appreciate that, and you get extra pay. Turn your request in at the office. Let's talk a little bit about what you think, how you would define a turning point. Anybody got an idea of what is a turning point? And I'm back up this way here. He's gone too far. I thought he was leaving the church building. He was right back there in the back.
Got to get it back, way in the back or way in the front.
Well, you're going to have to stay in the middle there. We got people all over the place here.
A turning point is a change in your life or lifestyle.
Okay.
Due to certain instances that take place.
Yeah, a change in your lifestyle. And sometimes it's planned. Yep, I'm going to do this. And you're feeling pretty good about it. And all of a sudden, something may be unplanned. And all of a sudden, there you are. Can anybody think of an example that you have seen in somebody's life that you thought, well, boy, that was a turning point? Anybody have an example that you could give us about a turning point you've seen in somebody's life, something to change them? Usually, not temporarily, but sometimes forever. Nobody wants to talk. Well, let's go to the next slide, because I've tried to give you in a nutshell what a turning point is. And it is, like Ray said, it's a turning point in events. It's a change in one's life. And if you could see those little lines, sometimes it's a up turning point, sometimes it's a down, sometimes it's a sideways thing, and sometimes it may go this way and then down, back up again. It's not always, and I don't want to sound like a math teacher, but it's not always a linear thing where it's a straight vector going across there. Sometimes it's one of those wavy things like this that wonder, where's it going next? I know I'm in the ride here, but where am I going next? So it is a change in one's life. It can be an event, or it can be more than one event. And we've got enough experience in this classroom that I think we can appreciate that. I'd like to spend a few minutes just to kind of get our brains warmed up on this whole idea of turning points today before we actually look at the Bible characters. But I'd like you to think, and I'll start out and I'll share something with you about examples of turning points. Again, somebody else's life or your own. And sometimes it's easier to see it in somebody else's life than even in our own life. But examples of turning points, and then talk a little bit about the impact that turning point had on that individual. And I'll start out with one. I knew of a guy once, and he was a typical guy, typical teenager, and was about to graduate from high school, and I knew this guy, and he didn't know what he was going to do. Imagine that, a boy getting ready to leave high school and didn't know what he was going to do. And so he starts, thinking, okay, what am I going to do? And he thought, well, I better get a job. I think his parents were encouraging him that way. So he got a job working in a factory. And I know at the time, this was back a ways, but he was telling me, he was kind of bragging. He said, you know how much I'm making? And I said, no, don't know. He said, $1.89 an hour. $1.89 an hour. And he said, the reason I'm getting so much is I'm working the second shift. And so if you worked the night shift, you got paid 4 cents extra. So he felt like he was really in the money. I mean, $1.89 and he's getting extra for working the second shift. I mean, what more could a guy ask for? And so he started out that way. Well, there was a couple women that had an interest in him. Ladies, thank you for taking an interest in people. And I happen to know, as he was telling this story, that one of them was his grandmother. And God bless grandmothers. If you had one that was involved in your life, I'm sure you're blessed because of that. And the other lady was a friend of the grandma. So if you get a grandma and her friend working on something, I'd say you better watch out. and you probably better pay attention to what's going to happen. Anyway, these ladies got it in their mind, I'll make this story shorter, got in their mind that this boy had more potential than just working in the factory, although that was fine, he was making money and all that. And so they thought he ought to go to college, which he hadn't thought about yet. So they started working on him a little bit, and they not only thought he ought to go to college, they thought he ought to go to a Christian college. Well, now that wasn't something he'd thought about at all. And so they started working with him and convinced him that he ought to at least try, and they'd help him get all the paperwork and all that stuff done, which they did. And so sure enough, he was accepted. So he's working at his job, and when fall came, he quit his job, took the money he'd saved and got things organized and went off to this Christian college. Now, what made that significant as he was sharing this with me was he'd never been to church much. He didn't know anything about the Bible. He was the typical American. Yes, we believe in the flag and we believe in God. God's out there someplace, and we believe in him, but what do you mean I have to go to church? You mean the Bible is something you can read? He'd never read the Bible much. He'd never been to church. He was an American God believer, and that was about all you could say. Well, some of you that know anything about Christian education in colleges, when you enroll, you agree that you're going to Bible class every day, 5 days a week. And you're going to a chapel service every day, 5 days a week. And so here's this young guy, didn't know anything, and all of a sudden there he is in the middle of it. Well, long story short, he did continue, he did complete his degree, and I would say that was a definite turning point in his life, because he found God and he got an education in what the Bible was about that he wouldn't have gotten any other place. So that, I know for a fact, was a turning point in his life and made all the difference. What's another event that you've seen in people's lives that certainly changed them? Anybody got another idea here? I've got several, but let's see what you've got. Up here, Mike Mann. I'm going to start calling him Mike. I think that fits him, doesn't it?
A few years ago, maybe more than a few, I had this guy at my church back in Ohio, and he said, "Hey, you want to go to this Christian singles retreat?" And I said, "No." I had been painting a lot and putting a lot of art in different galleries. And I had a brand new painting that I'd been working on for a long time. And it was going in this brand new gallery I'd never been to before or been in before. And they were having their opening night reception for the newspaper and for the press and rich people that like to buy artwork. So I wanted to make sure I was there with my piece, you know? And this guy, who I barely knew from Adam, kept nagging me and nagging me and nagging me. I mean, calling me on the phone and just wouldn't leave me alone. And I'm like, "Dude, I want to go to this art gallery opening." He's like, "Come on, I just don't want to go by myself." And finally, I gave in. I said, "Fine, I'll go, but I am not going to have any fun." And he said, "I don't care if you have fun or not. I just don't want to go by myself."
There you
right?
go.
And so I went, and I was super antisocial the first night and sat in the corner drawing on a picture and ignoring everybody. And by day, and it was for a whole weekend, by day two, I gave up and said, "I guess I'm going to have to enjoy myself. I'm stuck here." And that's when I met my wife. And I went home after that weekend and I told my parents, I said, "I met the woman I'm going to marry. I hope you like her because it's a done deal." And my parents, my mom in particular, she's like, "You know you're crazy, right?" And I said, "I'm telling you, it was not like dating. It was more like a job interview. How many kids do you want? Where do you want to live? What do you want to do?" You know, and our hopes and dreams and values just meshed, and there was a real comfort level, you know. And sure enough, it was like 6 months later, we were married, something like that.
Has that been back a ways? How many years has that been?
23.
You know, I think it's. So, I think you're going to make it.
I think so.
I just have a good feeling about this. 23 years.
I don't know. I have to convince her every few days or so.
Yeah.
But you just knew.
Yeah.
There was this comfort level, and here my life I thought was going in one direction, to put more paintings and more artwork in galleries and, you know, go that direction. And all of a sudden it just made a, you know, complete 180 U-turn. And so.
Definite turning point. Are you still doing art, or are you doing something else now? Or can you tell me without killing me? He works for CIA. I don't know.
No, I still do art.
Okay. Well, you haven't given up on that, or the wife. That's good. I'm liking that stability there.
I'm a graphic designer, so a lot of my artwork is, you know, went over to the computer.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. And well, we need people that know how to do that, and then there's the rest of us. So we thank you for that. That was a turning point, and I would say most of us, if we are married, or if we've known someone that's gotten married, that is a big turning point. And to do it so quickly, it wasn't even a blind date. See, I met my wife on a blind date. And boy, that was a turning point. It appears that we're still turning, but I think we're turning in a good direction. What's another type of event that you have either seen or experienced that you would say was a significant turning point in a person's life? Anybody share something about somebody you know, or something that was a turn? We got to work out over there, Mike, over there, please. I've got to direct this guy. Wait a minute, get the mic there. We can't hear you.
My older brother was a great guy, very enthusiastic, very outgoing.
Your brother, okay.
Yeah, my oldest brother and that. And then he was a paratrooper.
Ooh.
And when he went to war, and that, when he came back, he was never the same person as he went in. He was totally different person, had different thoughts, different ideas, different opinions. He was, the military and the war changed him.
Yes.
And he's never changed. He's never changed back. His attitude was completely changed by the military and the war. Different thoughts, different ideas, different opinions, and that.
Okay.
So that changed his life, not totally for the worse, but not for the best either.
Well, and it changes the people around them too. Right now we have that war going on over in Europe. In the Ukraine, and the pictures we're seeing are just horrible. I can't even imagine that, having not been in such a situation. But I've known folks who've been in the military, and it is a changing experience in a lot of ways, I'm told.
It's the war.
By being in the war.
What you see, what you hear, what you experience, that's what changes a person.
Oh, yeah. Just seeing the videos of this war right now, kids are seeing things, experiencing things that will definitely have an impact on them as well as the adults that are there. And those of us who have not been in a war zone and experienced what that is like, it's hard for us to imagine, but we can conjure up some ideas. So serving in the military, serving in a war zone certainly is a turning point. And over the years, you've probably known veterans who were in the war. My dad was in World War II, and others that I've known, and some that were in Vietnam and all. And it's an experience that impacts you in a variety of ways. How about birth? How does that affect you? Let's say you're a parent, and all of a sudden you have a baby. Any impact that has on you? Anybody got a thought about that one? How's that again? What'd you say?
You learn to become number two.
Well, yes, yes. We're fortunate here. We have three little babies. We've got Ivy, we've got Sophia, and we've got Malachi. Those are the three that I know of right now. And they're all cute in their own way. Malachi is getting really big. He's starting to get some muscles on him. And those young parents, that's their first child. And I am sure that they're saying, wow, we weren't sure it was going to be exactly like this. Would you say it, for many of us, it was on-the-job training? We thought we knew, but once you get that little baby home, our first one, we had to drive about 10 miles to get to from the hospital to our home. And back then, it was a long time ago, and we didn't have the baby seats and all this kind of stuff. So he's sitting on his mother's lap. I'm driving, and we're thinking about this baby and all this, and we look down, he's like this, got his little hands like this. And she said, look, he's praying. And we thought that was kind of cute. And then we got home and said, now what do we do? And later in the day, I said, I think he was praying, and I think he was saying, God, these people don't know what they're doing. Please help them. Now, I don't know, and he hasn't said that was what he was praying about when we brought him home, but I just kind of have a feeling, based on what we knew and didn't know, he was saying a little prayer on the way home in the car. But a birth of a child. I know a family that prayed to have children, and you got to be careful what you pray for. They had quads. That's four, all at one time. Bring them home. Hospital's only going to keep them so long, then they're yours, and you take them home. And they're all grown, they're in their 20s, the mother and father are still in their right mind. It's a beautiful thing, but she was telling me that if she had not had help, and apparently where they went to church, women and men said, we'll help you, and they kind of set up a schedule that so-and-so is going to be there to help with this and that and the other thing. I having had one and then having two, that was one thing, but four at the same time. And we have a family here that had twins. I remember when the girls were born. I was talking to them the other day. I said, you know, we prayed so hard that your mom and dad would have a child. And I said, I guess maybe we prayed too hard because you both came at the same time, had twins. And they just giggled about it. Of course, they're grown and have their own kids now, but I remember distinctly when they were born. So birth can be a big deal, whether it's you being born or whether you were the parents and had these children. Other kinds of events that you're thinking of, I'm trying to spur your brains here a little bit this morning. Other events you can think of that, another one up here. He's full of ideas. Well, we've got him married now and he's still with the same woman. So I think that's a good sign here.
Well, we had a daughter and she passed away.
I'm sorry about that. That's
and
hard.
After a few years went by, and I had painted a mural in our daughter's bedroom, and it went all four walls. I had airbrushed the ceiling and put about 2,000 glow-in-the-dark stars on the ceiling, one at a time with Elmer's glue. And I said to Shelley, I said, you know, listen, we have a nursery. We just have no kid, you know. And I said, what if we go through foster care? Because we couldn't afford to go outright adoption, because adoption is super, super expensive. Anyway, and so she was like, no, no, no. And finally she said, fine, I'll go to one class, but if I don't like it, we don't go back. And I'm like, okay, that's fair deal, you know. And we went. And went through the adoption process, and this is my first miracle story. I was working at University of Toledo, and it was the day before Thanksgiving. I was getting a 4-day holiday, and I had a design job where I could leave whenever I wanted. I could come in whenever I wanted. I could leave whenever I wanted. And I was having a bad day, so I was going to leave early. and this is before cell phones, and Shelley called me up, I forget what time it was, maybe about noon, one in the afternoon, something like that. She said, how's your day? And she never called me at work, ever, ever. And I'm like, I'm having a really crappy day. I'm leaving early. And she goes, why would you leave so early? Why won't you just stay around like another hour? And she never nagged me to stay at work. It was such an odd, first her calling me, then her nagging me to stay at work, that I said, okay, fine, I'll stay another hour, you know? And like 15, 20 minutes after that, I get a call at work from Children's Services. Hey, we just had this baby boy born. You know, he's perfectly healthy, no drugs in his system, you know? And he's a safe haven baby, which means his birth mom just had him at the hospital and was just going to leave him there, and we'd be able to adopt him, and which was our goal. And the lady goes, would you like him? And I said, yeah, we'll take him. She goes, don't you want to talk to your wife first? And I go, trust me, there's some things I can make a decision on, you know? Had I left, they would have tried me at home, wouldn't have got anybody, and they would have went to the next person online. And so we had our first son, we had 3 days notice. 3 days notice. You know, most people get 9 months to prepare for
stuff
like that.
A little time, yeah.
And but had she not called me, which was rare, had she not nagged me to stay at work, which was extra rare, and had I not listened to her, you know.
Things would have been totally different.
Exactly. So
turning point indeed. And I can see already that behind every man that's struggling, there's a good woman pushing him every step of the way. You're a good example of that. You mentioned death, and isn't death one of those events in our lives? And we all face that. Losing loved ones, having to go through that process. And I think about God sending his son, knowing that he was sending him to die as a sacrifice for you and for me. What a turning point that was for God, and I can't even imagine how much of a turning point that was. But clearly what a turning point that death was for you and for me and everyone else. And we've all experienced the loss of loved ones in a physical way, but to have God use death as a turning point for good for you and me and everybody else, that was quite a turning point, and it's one that we need to remember. Getting married, we've already talked about that. That tends to be a turning point, and it's one that teaches you things. At least it did me pretty quickly. And after a few years now, let's see, it's close to 54, I'm still learning a few things. I haven't learned it all yet, so I'm still working on that. But marriage can be a real turning point. You remember when you got your driver's license? You were about 16 in most states. And was that a big event or what? Freedom. I have a granddaughter that just got her driver's license about a year ago. Parents and grandparents were nervous. The kid was ready to roll, literally. And luckily she was a girl, and girls tend to be a little more cautious than guys. And the reason I know that, I was a driver's ed teacher once, among other things I've done. And why a person would get in a car with four kids who don't know how to drive and let one of them get behind the wheel and you sit in the passenger seat, why a person would do that? Probably some psychiatric problem, I'd say, Todd. I can't imagine a rational. Actually, at the time, I was getting $5 an hour, and boy, that was the biggest money I'd ever seen. So I did that for a while. But that's a big event. And it's a big event for the parents, certainly. But it kind of frees them not to have to take the kid everywhere. Wasn't that a good deal? Let them drive to wherever they're going and get back. So that's another one that we look at as a turning point. We talk about children, marriage, driver's license. School. Do you remember when you first started school? Did they have school when you were 6 years old? I guess not. maybe you people are older than I thought here, but does anybody remember when you went to school the first day? I mean, that's a long time back, but does anybody remember and could tell me something about how that was a turning point? Anybody? We're not going to let the Ohio guy talk anymore. He's used up all his time, so you can't rely on him. We're getting these other people. Let's put a little pressure on them here, okay? First day of school, back in the back there. Thank you for helping. We'll get you a gold star. She's ready to help us.
Yes, my first day of school and my whole year and half of the next year, I cried every day. My mother was keeping my cousins up on the hill from me that were younger, and the school was down below, and she could look out when I come out for PE, I'd be crying. But it was crazy.
Cried every day. Was it you were afraid to be in school, you didn't like your teacher, or you just were sad?
I was just nervous, I guess.
Nervous.
Lived out in the country, didn't have any, you know, playmates close by or anything.
Yeah.
I was not used to having people around.
Well, yeah, when you live out that way. I think when I went to school, if I had come back home, my mother would have cried. You're back already? What's going on here? But first day of school, anybody else have a turning point experience when you got to school? I tell people that when I was starting to school, they hadn't invented kindergarten in our town. So when you started, you were in the first grade. And I really didn't know anything. It was like a blank slate. Some of the kids knew stuff. And I got there and I didn't know a thing. And we had the meanest teacher. She was meaner than a snake, a little short woman. But boy, was she mean. And if you couldn't learn something, she got a little physical about it. And kind of shook you up, literally a little bit. And I guess it did make you stop and try to learn something. Anybody else have an experience in going to school, either when you started school or college or some kind of training or anybody? Was that a turning point? A turning point up here for Mr. Matches. We got to get him moving. I'm going to get him some skates next week, and we'll have him just skate right down here.
Thanks, Mike.
Up close now. We got to hear you.
Yeah, I can't remember. First day of school, any of the teachers I had in grade school or some of the ones in junior high, I started remembering some of them, but I do remember very well when I started my apprenticeship for the Plumbers and Pipefitters Union. And I tried for 4 years getting in before I, no, 5 years before I was ever accepted. So it was something that I endeavored for pretty hard. And that was pretty much a turning point in my work career, so getting into the union.
That was a happy day when you finally reached that goal, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
And
it was a struggle. So
sometimes the struggle makes it even more valuable. If something's given to you, that's okay. But if you have to work for it, there's a feeling that it's more precious, maybe.
Yes.
It's more valuable. And I think a lot of us have had that experience. We're not all plumbers, but we need a good plumber. I'm glad to know that. What? Oh, pipe fitter. Well, if one of my pipes breaks, you can come help me then. Is that it? I'll keep you on my dial list. When we get an opportunity to do something that we've either thought about or wanted to do, that is a great turning point and is a life-changing event. Because look what would happen if you hadn't gotten there. Look what would happen if you haven't met your wife. Look what would happen, fill in the blank there. So that's jobs. And sometimes you get a job opportunity that you didn't think about. I know a man that once got an opportunity at a job, and he hadn't even asked for it. And he said, I don't know about that. And they convinced him at least come and interview. Interviewed, and they said, we want you. That is a good way to get a job, when they call you and say, would you come and interview? And then they interview you and they say, yep, we want to offer you the job right now. It doesn't always work that way, but a turning point that can make a big difference. So we've talked about a variety of things. There's other things that are turning points in our lives. Certainly when you were baptized into Christ, wasn't that a turning point? Didn't that set you on a path that you may not have even thought about, or you may have? And where that has led you as you have matured in Christ to this point, and the things that you did, that you were asked to do, that you encountered, you wouldn't have anticipated. At least I know I didn't anticipate some of the things I've gotten into because I let Christ guide me and sought to follow his way. And so there are many turning points, and every turning point that you have has an impact, at least one or more. I'd like to turn in the Bible. We're running close to being out of time, so I want to be sensitive to that. In the Bible, and we're going to look at some of them, but let me just run through several that are on my list here. Abraham leaving his home was a big turning point for him and his lovely wife. And if she was any kind of wife, she said, do you have the directions? No, but I know how to get there. Well, that isn't exactly a quote, but I know how women are. The birth of Isaac. You remember that story? Who would have thought? Jacob, we're going to talk about him. Story of Joseph. Is that a story? Sold as a slave, and next thing, well, not right away, but eventually he is second in the kingdom from slavery up to that point. We're talking about a turning point. Moses. A lot of changes there. The Babylonian captivity and the changes that brought on the children of Israel. The birth of Jesus. I've often said, I've wondered sometimes, if we were trying to figure out how to save the world, would we say, okay, let's get a committee, let's have them review everything, come up with some recommendations, and we'll decide what to do. But God said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send a baby down there to earth, and that's going to be the savior of the world. Let me read something here for you about one of the biggest changes that mankind has experienced. And it's in Genesis. It's in Genesis chapter 3. And it's where we really see God having to make a change from his original plan. Genesis 3, the fall of man, is where I want us to look. And I'm going to begin in verse 13. And it says there, then the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. To Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life, and it will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all living. You talk about a big turning point. Here were these people in the Garden of Eden. Everything was provided. They had a close relationship with God. And they messed up. They made some decisions that literally changed their lives and our lives. So I think we need to be very careful when we think about turning points we come to and what we're going to do about it. We're out of time. Let's have a closing prayer and then our class will be over. And next week, you got your homework. So I'm expecting a lot out of you. No pressure, Ray. No pressure. Let's bow for a prayer. Father, we thank you always for your goodness, your blessings, for the fact that you continue to provide for us what we need and beyond. We thank you for this time we've had to study and think about you and about your word. We anticipate worship this morning. We pray that what we do will be right in your sight, that we'll receive the blessings that you have in store for us this morning as we fellowship with you. We pray you'll be with our family, that you'll guide us and help us to be doers of your will. Through your Son, amen.